ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Hope everybody enjoyed the long three-day weekend, Labor Day yesterday. Back at it with just a four-day work week this week, which means we're one day closer to high school football on Friday night. The Elks heading to Guymon, all kinds of other games around the area. We'll hit the high school football week one. It's in the books. Some takeaways from some teams' season openers. Oh, Jared was over at Merritt with the Oilers and a huge comeback that came up just short. I watched Sayre struggle against Oklahoma Christian Academy. Talk about that. 4A1 off to a really, really good start to the season. Got some high school softball fast pitch today to tell you about. Also, Canute with a good win over the weekend in a baseball tournament. So we'll hit all the high school stuff off the top of the show. Hit the college football. Man, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State struggling in their openers at home. Update the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest. Is Texas back? Big 12 had a good week. ACC didn't. Was that Georgia defense really that good? Oh, my God, that's Chip Kelly's music. Is that UCLA pummeling LSU? And this week's best games. A little bit lighter schedule this week with the good games versus week one. But there are some intriguing ones. NFL season starts in a couple of days. Is Jared ready for his Super Bowl picks, or does he want to wait a couple of days until Thursday and the season opener? We'll find out here toward the end of the show. This week's games, Big Elk TV, Friday night. It'll be the Elks heading to Guymon. The long trip to the Panhandle to face the Guymon Tigers.
What time are we leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll probably have to do the show on the road Thursday to get there by Friday.
Although, I do think we will get back earlier than we did last
that'll
Thursday.
It's a pretty good chance, I think. Merritt's at Oklahoma Christian Academy. Whoa. Hopefully they fare a little bit better than the Sayre Eagles did. Oklahoma Christian Academy, we'll talk about it here in just a second, but interesting coaching staff there.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of guys you probably have heard of on the sideline for the Eagles. Let's see. What else? Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can find it on KADSAM.com. You can find it on iTunes. If you search us on iTunes and find us, you might as well subscribe. That way it'll alert you when a new podcast drop. Also, you can find that on the Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Okay, so week one of high school football is in the books. We talked about the Elks in Southeast on Friday with Elk City going to 2-0. Then, because they played Thursday. Then Friday night, I was at the Sayre Eagles. I guess Oklahoma Christian Academy was the Eagles as well, if I remember right.
And man,
what a beatdown. Mm. Oklahoma Christian Academy got on top early and never let up. They end up winning 62-13 over Sayre. Defensively, Sayre just had no answers. Big number 85, I can't remember what his name was. He was a stud tight end. I'm talking stud. He was had to have been 6'5". Looked about like 400 pounds, so he probably was only about 220 or whatever, but he could run. He was athletic. He was hard to bring down. And Oklahoma Christian Academy just took it to Sayre the entire night. Big play in the first half for the Eagles, a pass from Colt Merrick to Walker Moeller. It was about a 90-yarder. But unfortunately, that made it like 35-7. You know, it was just it was a big play at the end of the half, but it wasn't enough to swing any momentum or anything like that. So it was a rough one for Sayre in their home opener, second game of the year, now 1-1 with a trip to Carnegie coming up on Friday night. What about Merritt? Man, I kind of gave up on that one midway through the third quarter or so because Mangum had built a pretty good lead. And then all of a sudden, you said, man, you text me, we got a great one coming. So I flipped it back on and watched the last couple of possessions. Oilers never quit, and then almost came back with a huge comeback win.
It was very similar to, I was only able to make it to one Merritt game last year, obviously because of what we do and conflicting schedules. But because we played Thursday night, I was able to go there Friday night. By the way, shout out to Jess Moore, new voice of the Merritt Oilers, getting things going. He's the guy. As that game progressed, he got more comfortable in his role there. I'm excited to have him on board. But back to my point, last year I went to the Hinton game, and they kind of had to do the same thing, come from behind, but they got the win. This had that same feeling. They found a pass play across the middle, pass play that worked twice, and Mangum really didn't have an answer for it. And, man, Mangum gave him some opportunities, too, there at the end when I think there was, 2.5 left. They had the ball up a point, and they threw it, 3 times in a row.
Yeah, they got a fourth down stop as Merritt was kind of crossing midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the stop, and I thought, well, that's going to be it. And then, the first play went back to pass, and I thought, they're trying to catch him. And then they did it. Only ran off, 30 seconds off the clock at most. There on that possession.
Yeah.
And then a good punt, it forced Merritt back. But, I thought just one more chance for Merritt to hit a long play, and they just couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. But I've always walked away from a Merritt game, always impressed win or loss, because they always have that fight in them, and that starts with Coach Richardson and his staff. They've always have – they could be undersized and undermanned, but they don't – you don't see that on the field. They grind you, and they fight you all the way to the very end. So kudos to Merritt. It was a great game. I mean, that's a little bit of a rivalry, I believe, between Merritt and Mangum. I was hearing some fans talk about, there's been some trash talk going on all the way leading up to this game, on the Snapchats and Twitters between the players and students. So there's a little bit of I didn't know that was much of a rivalry. I figured for Merritt, it'd be more like Sayre or Burns Flat or Cordell, but I guess Mangum and Merritt don't really like each other. But there's a lot of respect there after the game, because of how the game played out. It was a fun game to watch. Just Oilers came up short. But I don't expect Oilers to drop off, you know what I mean? If they play like that rest of the year, because Mangum's always a tough out. They always are. I mean, we've seen Mangum enough. They mm-hmm. are always a good team, so full of athletes and strong. So I expect Merritt to be okay.
Yeah, they're going to have a tough one. At looks like noon on Saturday. Is that right? Let's verify that.
You are right.
Okay.
You are right. I don't know the explanation for that, if they share a field and that was the only time they got it, or what, because they're in the Edmond area. I know all three of the big high schools in Edmond have their own fields now. Of course, UCO has a field. It might be a situation where they have to share a field and all three Edmonds are at home.
Right.
And they have to... They have to wait till Saturday at noon.
Yeah, Saturday at noon there for the Merritt game. Oklahoma Christian Academy. By the way, on the coaching staff I mentioned?
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of guys you might have heard of. Moses Madu.
Yes.
And Jimmy Wilkerson.
Really?
Yes. Both former OU players, both on that coaching staff at OCI. I know Moses was there last year. I think this is Wilkerson's first year. And by the way, he's got a junior and a freshman on the team.
Pretty
big fellas. Pretty big fellas out there.
I wouldn't doubt it.
The freshman actually was the kicker for extra points. And if you've been at Sayre, that when you're going to the West.
Yeah.
He would kick it over the concession stand.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, up over the net and over the concession stand. But, they were. I was pretty impressed with OCA. So Merritt's got their hands full coming up Saturday at noon. 4A1, man, the Elk City, the district is off to a great, great start. Only one loss in, 11 games? Or 12 games, I guess. Bethany's 2-0. They got another good win against John Marshall on Friday night, 30-22.
I believe they had to come back to do that, too.
Yeah. When we checked it, they were behind halftime or so, and they came back to win 30-22. Cash is 2-0. Beat El Reno and then pummeled Altus. The Elks are 2-0. Maybe the biggest upset around the state on Friday night? Was it Elgin taking it to Anadarko? 55-41, Anadarko number 6 in 3A. Elgin coming off a winless season a year ago. And the Owls took it to Anadarko, 55-41. That's a pretty big upset to me, at least for what the preseason prognostications were for both of those teams.
Yeah, Anadarko was where? About 5 or 6?
6 and 3A.
6 and 3A, yeah. That is, you know, some would say, well, 4A should be beaten at 3A. It's not necessarily the case all the time. But that's, you know, maybe that just goes into what we're saying about 4A1. It's just wide open.
Yeah, a little bit better maybe than what
maybe it is better. Top two, I hate to say it like this, but top two bottom. There really is no bottom.
Clinton 41-14, they had to delay that game against Woodward till Saturday because of the lightning in the area on Friday night. I know there was I heard the OSU pregame, Rashawn Woods' Enid Plainsman did the same thing.
Yeah.
And they played Ponca at noon there on Saturday. So 41-14, Clinton beats Woodward. Did you watch that?
A little bit
of that game?
Obviously watching a little bit of OU, but I was going back. I had it on my iPad just kind of on the side. And so I got the good sense of what was going on. And someone asked me who didn't watch because they were unaware that they played at noon. noon. That night they asked me how Clinton did. So, well, they won 41-14. I said, how'd it look? I said, it looked like they got a good defense. Oh, sure, 41 points on offense, pretty good, but their defense put them in good position all night or all afternoon. From the stats, 5 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, so 6 turnovers. That'll win you some ball games.
Yeah, that'll darn sure help.
But just watching, Woodward had an incredible hard time on the ground moving the football. And then, like I said, when you had to throw it, they were throwing it to the wrong jersey color. So I don't know what that means, if Woodward's going to struggle or if Clinton is as advertised. Some would say a little overrated, maybe as high as number one, but they might have taken that and used that as a little motivation. Go, you know what? We're number one. We're going to prove it to you. And I've thought, well, maybe we're seeing why they're number one is because their defense, not so much the offense. Because running the football, it was by what I expected by committee. A lot of kids got a lot of carries, mm-hmm. especially the quarterback. But I think that defense, and we kind of alluded to that, that defense is probably going to be pretty salty.
They're at Heritage Hall. I think that'll be
– that might be game
pretty,
of the week.
Pretty good,
the
yeah, pretty good measuring stick coming up on Friday night. Weatherford was able to get past Kingfisher on Friday night, 28-19. So, you know, everybody in the district won except for Chickasha. They took it on the chin against Marlow, 40-14. But everybody else – with wins in 4A1, so we'll see.
That looks solid.
Yeah, we'll see how that transpires throughout the season. Canute on the fall baseball diamond went over to Hydro Weekly and won that Labor Day tournament with a 15-4 beatdown of Dale. Anytime you hear Dale.
Yeah, you pay attention to that.
You pay attention to winning that game against Dale there. And so Canute, maybe a little bit of a disappointment, could you say, last spring with the way things turned out? You know, made the state tournament.
I'd say with the way a year ago in the fall they went state, and so everyone kind of looks at them as the favorite going into spring, and then the way that happened, but losing in the first round. Listen, I guess that shows expectations for a program when you get to state and you lose, and it's a disappointing end of the year. But hey, everybody wants to make the final eight and get to state. Canute has turned in that perennial team that's going to go there. But this is nice. It's a nice win for them over a Dale team that has been good for years. I mean, for years. And this is the second time they beat them, too, this season. That's a good win in a tough tournament, mind you.
Yeah, there was a bunch of good teams. I was looking through there. Bunch of ranked teams. You know, when you look at the three games that Canute won, beat Hydro Weekly and Visi and Dale. All three of those teams are in the top 15 in Class A.
Yeah.
And then AMPO also, 16th. So, yeah, you're talking about
– I mean, here we are, September 6th. We get, playoffs going here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks?
23rd, it looks like, okay. Is district.
I mean, they could be finding that groove in the right time.
Definitely could.
You know, last year they were on an incredible win streak. It's like they found that groove after the third game, but maybe this is the time they're starting to feel it.
13-3.
Speaking of feeling it, Kyron Winery, my goodness. 6 RBIs. responsible for six of those 15 runs. That's crazy.
13-3, and when you look at the three losses the Canutes had this fall to number one teams,
yeah.
Roth in Class B and Octahaw in Class A.
By the way, Roth on a two-game losing streak. Got some intel on that. They're injured.
Oh.
Could affect Class B.
Yeah.
And they were on like a long win streak dating back to the spring. So, something to watch if you're a Class B fan.
Yeah, it shows 11-3 for Roth. Their loss at the Dale Tournament to Octahaw in extra innings.
That's not a bad loss.
And then two in a row yet to Rattan and also Wright City. We're getting close, though. A couple of weeks away from district tournaments. The 23rd and 24th is kind of what everybody's got circled here for those district tournaments. Elkettes, softball, 5 o'clock tonight against Cash. District softball. At Elk City, go out and watch them. They've been really good. 15-5. I think they beat Cash 8-1 last week. See if they can continue the chase against, kind of chasing Tuttle, but solidify the second place spot there in the district, which will only help with assignments later on down the line.
Yeah.
So go out and watch the Elkett softball team. Fun to watch.
Yep.
Tonight at 5 against Cash. We'll be back. College football week one in the books. Man, what a weird weekend for the state schools. The games really kind of mirrored each other in a lot of ways, with Oklahoma squeaking by Tulane 40-35, Oklahoma State doing the same at home against Missouri State 23-16. I really didn't listen much yesterday, so I don't know what the reaction was, how much overreaction there was to those two results. Nationally, I know Sooners are taking a beating from a lot of different directions, with just squeaking by Tulane, giving up 35. Same old defense there at Oklahoma. That's what you're kind of hearing. And so, you know, you can take one of two ways. I mean, you know, I think for both, you can look at the glass half full and say, man, they raced out, had big leads, and then just kind of quit playing, or you can take the glass half empty as, well, yeah, it's same old defenses, same old at OU, and then with Oklahoma State, offensive line clearly was a struggle, and really both places. So for me, I mean, it would have been as embarrassing a loss as I can think of for Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State for that matter, with Missouri State being – you know, the level of football that they are. But both teams won, and so that's, you know, maybe you learn lessons in wins instead of having to get an L hung on you. But I think there are definitely warning signs in both places for the season coming up.
You think the Pokes get a little bit of a pass because they weren't at full strength offensively?
A little bit, but here's the problem. And I know that Spencer Sanders can help the run game with his legs and his mobility, but you carry it against Missouri State, 1.9 yards a carry. OU wasn't much better, 3.3 for the Sooners against Tulane. You know, that's warning bells have to be going off in the offensive line rooms this week at both of those schools, not being able to rush it against inferior opponents. You know, that in there's a lot to be worried about defensively for Oklahoma, not as much for OSU. They were, you know, until that little run in the fourth quarter, Missouri State was like 1 of 11 on third down. OSU was great on third down defense last year, continued that. And then Missouri State ends up picking up a few, and I think that 5 of 16 is where they came out. So still below 33%. But, you know, when they're 1 of 11, that's phenomenal. But that, you know, there's Oklahoma. First off, defensively, there were stretches where they were very, very good.
There were stretches there. They could stop them on third down, but couldn't stop them on
fourth
down.
Yeah, and then fourth down happened. I mean, what was Tulane on fourth down? It was a bunch. They went for a ton. Let me see if I can find that. Here it is. 4 of 6. Yeah, 4 of 14 on third down is pretty good defensively, but then 4 of 6 on fourth down. Almost gave up 400 yards. Now, Michael Pratt, you got to give it up to that dude. He's what a tough, tough, gritty performance by the Tulane quarterback. I mean, he was just getting pummeled.
Literally.
You know, the hit where Key Lawrence knocked his helmet off and his head smashed into the turf. I thought he was done.
I did too. I was surprised he didn't go limp the way his head rattled.
Yes.
I thought, I've seen car wrecks less violent than that.
But he popped right up
and had to set out one play and came back in. That was tough. Showed toughness. I think that was a little bit inspiring for his team too.
27 of 44, 296, and 3 touchdowns. He was the star of the game for me, just with the toughness that he showed. And like you said, inspiring to his teammates. I think that that's exactly right. And had Tulane right there with a chance to win the ball game with under 2 minutes to go. And, you know, Pratt scrambled away and almost picked up a 4th and 13 or whatever. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily – to the point where you just start, you know, giving up on the season at either spot. It's one game, you know, and lots of different things can happen from here on out. But Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have got to improve offensively on the offensive lines to be able to rush the football. Otherwise, you become one-dimensional, and the team could pin their ears back to rush the quarterback, or even in Tulane's case, kind of drop guys back into coverage, and it's hard to throw against 8.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like the common theme in post-game interviews and even coaches' shows were that they just weren't mentally in it, and Tulane wanted it more. And that was clear on the field. Tulane doing the extra things to want it more. You could see that as a football fan. You know what that is, that extra mojo, I guess. But OU just seemed off, and I don't know. I'm not trying to build in excuses of suddenly it's a home game. It wasn't at full capacity. The fans even didn't seem that much into it. And then when OU got that big lead about, late second quarter going into the third quarter, it felt like they just took the foot off the gas. But doesn't that seem like that's a common theme with Lincoln? I mean, that game kind of felt like Kansas State last year.
I mean, how many times do you have to go to –
I don't know.
You score 37 points in the first half. It looks like the route is on, and you're going to score 70 if you want to.
Yeah.
And you get beat 21-3 in the second half.
Right.
By Tulane.
Didn't that feel like Kansas State last year?
Yeah, Rattler throwing the passes behind receivers for interceptions. The only thing that didn't happen was a block punt because the Sooners never punted.
Right, right.
You know, that's all that was missing. You know, turnovers. And here's the deal. I just got a text that Pratt looked like more of a Heisman hopeful than Rattler. That's absolutely the truth in that one game on Saturday. Listen, the numbers look okay outside of the 2 turnovers. 30 of 39 for 304. I mean, that's not a horrible day.
Should have been 3, by the way.
And it was a terrible call on that pass interference that took one away. Is he just a little too cool for school? Just
that,
a little too cool.
Listen, there's swag, and then there's what you're talking about. And it felt like – it felt a little bit like that. Like, especially the first pass of the game of the season, he throws in the triple coverage because he thinks, I can do that. It's like he's read too many offseason magazines and watched too many preseason specials about who's the Heisman favorite, who's the national title favorite. And I don't know. I hope this – if you're looking at any kind of a positive, you see this result, and I hope it humbled him. Go, you know what? Nothing's given to me. I got to go work for it. So next week's not going to be a test. I mean, next week's not going to tell us anything with Western Carolina. And we'll see. I mean, if they play like that against – I mean, am I giving too much credit to Nebraska to say if they play like that against Nebraska, Nebraska can beat them?
I don't think so because they almost got beat by Tulane. Don't we figure Nebraska's better than Tulane? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Tulane's better than what we think, but there's no way you're coming in here on Tuesday morning and being like, oh, well, guess what? Tulane's this great team.
Yeah, they might be better. So many people text me and say, well, Tulane's actually a really, really good team. No, they're not.
Come on.
I mean, they're going to be the middle of the road of the American Conference.
I mean, come on.
Let's be real here.
Yeah.
He's a freshman quarterback. As great as he was, is he going to play like that every game? No. They're the middle of the road of that conference. Don't tell me that suddenly Tulane is a world beater. Give me a break.
Tulane is not a world beater.
No.
They're not.
Oh, you played bad.
Yeah, in the second half. I mean, start out, it was really reminiscent of the 2017 game where Tulane went right down the field twice and scored. And then they were done, though.
Yeah.
You know, and for a long time they were in this game. The second quarter and most of the third quarter, Oklahoma's defense looked awesome. And then it just didn't.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it was almost a loss. And it was really the same story in Stillwater. Really similar games between inferior opponents. So both of those teams need to do a little bit better. OU has a layup against Western Carolina. OSU better be ready for Tulsa. You know that Tulsa's coming off that loss to UC Davis, wanting to kind of prove that they're a different team than what that is. See if Spencer Sanders plays this week or not.
Well, was it a multiple game suspension for the players that were unable to play?
Suspension? Is that what happened?
Well, at the end of that bowl game.
Oh, see, for Tulsa.
We were told why Tulsa lost.
I thought you were talking about Sanders.
No, Tulsa was without multiple players. I don't know how many key players, but because of that brawl that happened at the end of that bowl game with Mississippi State, was it a multiple game thing or just one game? That's something that definitely factors into this. You know, I'm going into what you're saying is they want to prove that, hey, we lost that game because we didn't have our full arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'll have to monitor that.
To look into that. That could be a big thing. I mean, if Oshie plays like that against a motivated Tulsa team, that's going to have to prove something.
Seems like there might have been even varying levels of suspension for some of those guys.
Based on involvement of the brawl.
Yeah, five starters was out.
Hmm.
Yeah, so if it's just a one game, then yeah, all those guys will be back.
Yep.
And it'll be a lot different test for OSU against the Golden Hurricane. Nationally, or I guess staying in the conference, Big 12 had a really good week, only West Virginia at Maryland. It was the only loss within the conference. And, I mean, listen, Texas looked really good against a Louisiana team that a lot of people thought was going to give them fits.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas pulls away and wins 38-18. Both of our guy, for the kind of that dark horse Heisman guy that we both had, Bijan Robinson, was fantastic. 20 carries, 103, and a touchdown. Caught four balls for 73 and a touchdown. Hudson Card was okay. 14 of 21, 224, two touchdowns. Didn't throw a pick. Casey Thompson had completed four of his five passes for 41 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, though, I think it's where Texas really showed up. Only allowing, 330 yards to Louisiana.
Yeah, it's a team that can throw it around the yard, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
28 of 40, Levi Lewis was for 282 and a touchdown. Only 2.6 yards per carry for Louisiana on the ground, so that Texas defense was pretty stout. And so all in all, I mean, I don't think you can do anything but give Texas a lot of credit for winning that game, playing that game against a team. You know, when you schedule that, you're probably not planning on that being the number 23 team in the country coming to your house.
Right.
And so Texas.
It's like OU, they scheduled Nebraska thinking, well, they'll still be Nebraska.
It's the opposite.
10 years ago, and then no, it's not.
So Texas with the big win there. And then also they're one of the few good games this week as they travel over to Fayetteville, Arkansas to play the Hogs. So a couple of tests right off the bat for the Longhorns. I watched a lot of the Texas Tech-Houston game.
Oh, yeah?
It was one that the Red Raiders completely turned that thing on its head. They were down 21-7 at halftime.
Right, I saw that halftime score.
And then all of a sudden, that defense, there was a big dude in the middle. I can't remember what number he was. I couldn't hear it, but I was watching it. And that dude was in the backfield. I think it was number 98. And next thing you know, Texas Tech just blows Houston away. Outscored them 31-0 in the second half to win 38-21. So that was pretty impressive second half for Texas Tech against Houston.
That is impressive because of the defense. You think if you're down 21-7, Texas Tech, they can't get enough stops to get back into this. They clearly did. So good job for the Big 12 and Texas Tech.
ACC in a world of hurt. Top,
I'd say.
top what, 2, 3, 4 teams go down. You know, the only team that won a game of any significance was Virginia Tech, and they beat the second-best team supposedly in the conference in North Carolina. Clemson, so much for DJ Uiagalelei's Heisman candidacy. My God, that Georgia defense just shut him completely down, sacked him 7 times in that 10-3 Bulldogs win.
Yeah, if you were born after 2000, that was a really boring game for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, kids, that's the way it used to go.
Yeah, those are the fun ones. Mommy, daddy, and uncle and aunt, like those are the fun ones I like. I like that. I enjoyed that.
That was hard
to. You knew that interception. I was like, that was the second quarter. I was like, that's it.
Herb Street kept on saying it, and it was like he was kind of building it up, and it's thinking, man, come on. But it, you know, it's 10-3. He's like, it's 10-0, but it feels like it's 30-0.
Yeah, that's.
And then all of a sudden, Clemson was down there, had a chance to score a touchdown. Don't punch it in the red zone. Have to settle for the field goal. And you're still thinking, well, Georgia's not doing anything. Clemson's going to have plenty of chances to tie this up, and they did, but they couldn't. And you know, listen, it's not possible to give Georgia's defense enough credit for the way that they played. I mean, that was just an absolute masterpiece of defense from Kirby Smart's team.
Yeah, it was a brick wall.
It just, you kept on kind of, it's like you kept on thinking, all right, Clemson has athletes. They got Justin Ross back, who was an awesome receiver, missed a year with an injury, but, you know, he was great as a freshman. You know, they're going to hit something.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that was like, it was like you had your two consciences on your shoulders. The angel was going, oh no, they're gonna hit a play, and the devil's going, no they're not, are you not watching this? They got no chance.
I mean it
almost felt like the one time they had the chance, and this should have foreshadowed the rest of the game, was when they got the pick at what, like the 30 yard line of Georgia, 35, and they went backwards like 18 yards and couldn't even kick a field goal,
right?
And at that point it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That big dude, Davis, was his last name, in the middle of that defense for Georgia. They said he was like 6'4", 350, and he looked like he could run who knows how fast. I mean, it wasn't just a big guy that was standing there.
Yeah.
He was getting around blocks and moving his feet and nimble for as big as he was. And then, you know, they would show – you wondered if it was just pressure or, you know, was there people open and Uiagalelei was missing them? No. Then they'd show the view, and everybody was covered. And so no wonder he was getting sacked over and over, because he didn't have anywhere to throw it. Having said that, Georgia's offense wasn't very good. And maybe Clemson's defense is really, really good. It has been.
It was just a couple of good defenses. I mean, right. You still got Venables over there.
Yeah, and they had 10 of 11 starters back. You know, the one thing you remember from Clemson a lot of times is the last thing, and them just getting shredded down.
Right.
In the Sugar Bowl by that Ohio State offense, which, oh, by the way, that Ohio State offense is going to shred a bunch of people with that receiving core, with Olave and Wilson and all those guys. So maybe that wasn't quite enough credit given to Clemson's defense going in. They earned it, you know, as they, you know, both defenses allowed 3 points. And the difference was, one defense got a pick 6, and the other defense, when they got the pick, they only ran it back to the 30. You know, that was the difference in the game. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see for me. I know it's easy to come in here today and just proclaim Georgia the biggest contender to Alabama. And that might be true. But they're going to have to score a whole heck of a lot more than 3 points at some point in this game on offense, in the season on offense, to sneak out a game. Having said that, they got by far the biggest test on their regular season schedule, because at this point forward, only Florida is ranked on that Georgia schedule. I mean, for an SEC schedule, it is unbelievably Charmin soft.
Yes, it is. South Carolina at Vandy, Arkansas at Auburn, Kentucky, you mentioned Florida, Missouri at Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah, that's of course, you wrap up the season at Georgia Tech in the rivalry game. Yeah, it looks like they could coast all the way to about Florida and then possibly, more than likely, the SEC championship.
Couple of the coolest stories over the weekend. Zeb Nolan, the coach, slash quarterback for South Carolina. A lot of people remember that name from Iowa State. Due to injuries and due to the COVID season, Zeb Nolan was able to start at quarterback for South Carolina as a grad assistant. Completed 13 of 22, 121 through the air, had four touchdowns as the Gamecocks rolled over Eastern Illinois. And then also, the game of the week to me was Sunday night. Notre Dame at Florida State. It goes to overtime, thanks in part to welcome back Mackenzie Milton.
That was cool.
It was like you couldn't even draw up a movie script as hokey as that one was about to be. You know, with him, the devastating injuries, been away for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
From the game, and he steps in and goes 4 for 4 on the touchdown. I mean, just storybook stuff. And Florida State, I had mentioned them as one of those teams that I thought was going to be on their way back. And, man, they looked the part. They were athletic. That looked like a Florida State. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That looked a lot more like what we're used to out of Florida State
than
what we've seen. Notre Dame was able to hold on. Man, that Michael Mayer tight end, that dude is an absolute stud. Brian Kelly, underrated coach. Notre Dame was my pick to be an overrated team. I say overrated or underrated for Kelly. He's underrated. He's a very good coach.
Oh, yeah. Always has been.
I'm still not sold that Notre Dame's going to be one of those teams that's going to compete for the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I think they're more top 20 than top 10.
That's why I kind of stand offish on this result, because it's, yes, Florida State looked better, but on the other side of it, some are thinking, well, is Notre Dame really a top 10 team? You know, it took Notre Dame overtime to beat a Florida State team. Who knows how they're going to end up? I think we don't have a lot of answers out of this result.
And we've already got a favorite for the early Heisman, according to our resident Ole Miss fan.
No.
Matt Corral?
No.
He'll get his chances. With A&M,
I think it's a
with
clear
Alabama.
Favorite who the Heisman is.
Bryce Young.
Yes.
Speaking of our resident Ole Miss fan, Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest ended up with 53 entrants.
That's awesome.
What a great job by all of our listeners. That's where some of the great jobs stopped.
I was
going
to say, how great of a job is it?
There were some 3-7s, some 2-8s. And I can only assume Ole Miss man is our guy, Tyler Harrison. 2-8. Yeesh. Off to a tough start there. But it's a long season. I guess, did Andy just have two? Does he have two entries? Andy Peffer and Dr. Peffer's picks?
Is this how it works? Two?
Are we sure that's legal?
I don't know.
Or is that somebody else?
I don't know.
7-3. So the same guy with two entries is 7-3. I was 6-4. I'll tell you what. I'll take 6-4 every week and see where that stacks up.
Yes, that's a good, yeah.
I'll take 6-4.
Some interesting picks
every
this
week.
Now, are these locked? I mean, the spreads, are they already locked?
Yeah, the spreads won't change. It'll just be opening lines, which some of these will change. I listened.
Like Ohio State, 14.5-point favorite. Do you buy into that after their performance against Minnesota?
Well, Oregon almost lost to Fresno State.
True.
That was a 24-24 game in the fourth quarter.
It's a 9 o'clock kickoff for Oregon if they're on their time.
And you know what?
That could be a thing.
It is a thing, because there has been a bunch of times where those West Coast teams travel east and kick off at 11, and it normally doesn't go very well.
Yeah.
That's something that you can definitely monitor when you're making your picks for the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang down there at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property. Tyler says he's going to subscribe to the Fat Jack's picks so he can do better.
Oh, man. Big game this week, Iowa State.
Yeah, the three this week at, real quick, UCLA, man alive. You were out there 2 years ago sitting in that stadium watching Oklahoma just run away from them.
Yeah.
And that was by no means a vintage Oklahoma team. Just 2 years later, all of a sudden, Chip Kelly, it's like he's got all his guys there now, because he's been there long enough to have gone through enough recruiting cycles where it's nobody, you know, everybody on the team is his guys. My gosh, did they look good. But.
Did they?
Is it more UCLA? Yeah, they did.
That's no. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
Is it more? But here's. I'm starting to see some similarities between two situations. Ironically, both were in the SEC. Is Ed Orgeron Gene Chizik 2.0? Think about Gene Chizik's time down in Auburn. He had one unbelievable year with one unbelievable quarterback and won a national title. 2 years later, he was fired. Cam Newton went away. Gene Chizik went bye-bye.
Right.
Is Ed Orgeron headed down the Gene Chizik path? One unbelievable year with one unbelievable quarterback, an unbelievable team, wins you a national title. And now here we are 2 years later. You know, last year was, I think it was the largest drop-off in wins from season to season in LSU history. And now they start out with a road loss at UCLA. Coach O, seat getting a little hotter.
Well, there's talk about that hot seat even before this game. And that's just the nature of the beast when you coach in the toughest conference in the country. You see it all over that league. You mentioned Auburn. I mean, they hold on to their coaches for 3-4 years. If you don't produce, see ya. Moving on. Even if you won a national title, they expect another one and another one and another one. So, yeah, I think they're – and that goes to my point. You know, UCLA, yeah, they look good. But how good is LSU? More questions than answers is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's see you do it the rest of the season, UCLA, because I could see them laying an egg against their crosstown rivals or Oregon or Washington, Stanford. No, know their schedule by heart.
Let's look at it. That's exactly where I was going.
Thank you. Go for it. And LSU, I mean, they could be a dumpster fire by the end of the year.
So they've got Fresno at Stanford. Arizona State, at Arizona, at Washington, Washington. Got beat by the Montana Grizzlies, for God's sake.
They did.
Yes, you didn't know that? Number 20, Washington.
I pay attention to the Pac-12 like the rest of the country does.
Went down to defeat against the Montana Grizzlies, 13-7, at home.
Now that is a bad loss.
So
And you're ranked 20th. That is a bad loss.
The worst loss of the weekend by far.
Sure, yes.
But, so you've got that one. You've got Oregon. Yeah, they got everybody. Actually, UCLA, as easy as Georgia's SEC schedule is, UCLA's is tough. Mm-hmm. They get everybody.
I will say that what I noticed, you mentioned the Rose Bowl, it looked a little bit more packed.
Oh, there was way more people there than there was for the Hawaii game.
And by the way, don't make fun of their sissy blue shirts.
I'm telling you right now, there will not be a better uniform matchup all season long than that one.
Yeah.
Those powder blues against the LSU whites, that was awesome. By the way, we cannot let you go outside the college football talk without your Wisconsin Badgers going down to defeat to Penn State.
Almost got away with it.
No.
They're not dead yet. You talk defensive game. That was a fun game. What was that score at half? Was it
like 0-0.
0-0, yeah. But, listen, that was the game, you know, in Penn State, they could have the same route like I thought Wisconsin was going to have. You know, one of those teams is going to have to come back to how they performed last year. Maybe it's Penn State. Maybe it's both. It's not over yet. My love for Wisconsin's not over yet. You can survive an opening season loss and run the table. They need some help.
Yeah. I don't know if you can when Graham Mertz is your quarterback.
Yeah, that offense wasn't very good.
22 of 37, 185, two picks, which both were thrown in the red zone at the goal line.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, you know, you make fun of Big Ten football at noon on a Saturday.
Oh, that was a fun one.
That's exactly what that was. 0-0.
Yeah.
At halftime.
And by the time I got home from the parade, I was going back and forth between, because OU looked like it was kind of pulling away. I was kind of going to that one. Yeah. Good stuff.
Penn State. Iowa looked great. And as you mentioned, Iowa State. Probably
looked real good.
Iowa looked awesome. So how
Iowa
good
State,
are they?
Iowa State, are you worried?
Iowa State did their normal first game.
Just coasting
terrible.
By and just not looking that hot.
16-10. But they did win. That's the one thing about these teams that struggled a little bit.
They did win.
And you know who doesn't struggle? Ever. Alabama. Alabama never struggles. They look, once again, after losing all that firepower, they look like far and away the best team out there.
Yep. Kudos to Kansas State, too.
Kansas State with a big win against Stanford. Listen, the Big 12 looked really good.
They looked solid. Even Kansas won on Friday.
Thankfully, I don't know how many more chances we're going to have to say that. So you better get that W.
There's a brief period where Kansas was leading the Big 12.
South Dakota.
And wins.
They're going to get pummeled by Coastal Carolina this week. So, okay, I'm going to ask you. And maybe we can do this tomorrow. So give you a little head, like thinking.
Okay.
So I know everybody wants to jump and fly off the handle.
Of course.
For both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So I want you to think up of.
Hey, I was right there with them.
Like a
after
worst,
the game.
like a most outrageously hot take for both.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. Like a, or maybe like a, using the first game's results as the only criteria, like a worst case scenario or also best case scenario.
I see.
For both squads. Yeah,
well, okay.
As opposed to, you know, I mean, listen, I heard him all weekend.
I heard every angle, read every angle.
From?
Some was ridiculous, some was on point.
From, say, man, Caleb Williams looked awesome on that 1 yard touchdown run. Shouldn't he be the quarterback?
Exactly. The DC Dozer, did you hear him, Nick? That's what the nickname is. That's what, I guess, William, there's some insight that this was coming, and the radio guys knew it. Of course, it's kept under wraps. He comes in, plunges it in, and they said Williams wants it to be called the DC Dozer.
I was
package.
Listening to this.
You didn't hear that?
Maybe
the DC Dozer.
He scored. Maybe we got out of the vehicle right after he scored, and we didn't.
Yeah,
hear.
They were kind of recapping it after the break, and they're saying he wants it to be called the DC Dozer because he's from.
Well, they referenced the Bell Dozer and
right.
Being that play was those plays. Mm-hmm. With the way that they did, so.
You think that'll be a staple?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, why put it in if you're only going to use it one time against Tulane?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Be interesting. I mean, if he's a guaranteed touchdown every time.
I mean, listen, I was hoping that, you know, when it was 37-14, I was sitting there thinking, all right.
Let's see him.
Get a stop, get a score. Now we're going to get to see Caleb Williams.
Surprised to see a lot of the true freshmen play, especially on defense. We saw Ethan Downs on the field.
Downs was out there. Latrell McCutcheon was out there. Both of the linebackers, Stutzman and Clayton Smith, were out there.
And Bowman almost had a pick.
Bowman was, man, did you happen?
How high is his vertical?
Did you happen to notice on that play, the same one you're talking about, when he almost had the pick?
Yeah.
And then he went to the ground. Did you see how he got up?
No. Was it like Karate Kid?
Oh, my God, yes. It was the most athletic thing that happened on that field all
day
long.
I've heard he's a specimen. I've heard he's crazy athletic.
I think he was picked
on. When I saw him jump and then.
I think he was picked on a little early.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he was physical.
Well, I like that.
So he could be special.
He could be.
But, you know, there was a lot of talk after the game that I heard of, you know, you got to play your best players the most, which I agree with, but do they know who those guys are yet?
That's probably a good reason why maybe the defense lapsed a little bit because they're
different guys out there.
Grinch was like, when they got that lead, Grinch was like, okay, let's see what kind of packages I could use with these younger guys. Let's see what I got.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
You know, and
on the defense if you're Grinch. And then here's the truth of it, though. By using as much depth, especially on the defensive line, as was used, then when it came down to it, after Tulane recovered that onside kick.
That was a big part of it.
You looked out there, and it was Winfrey, and it was Benito, and it was Isaiah Thomas fresh, and what happened? All four snaps, they were in the face of the quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's obviously being half.
I mean, it's building,
glass half
building depth,
full.
And some would say, why didn't he Grinch have this figured out before the season started? You can only know so much before you actually go up against an opponent. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. You want to see what happens.
You
some guys play better than they practice and
when
all
the lights
that kind
come
of
on,
stuff.
How do they react?
And
you know, like my kid in her home run. She doesn't do it in practice, but she does it when daddy's not there and and they're playing a game.
Yeah.
So that can be said about some players. How do they react when it's game time? Yeah, against someone that's not wearing a practice jersey.
And they're just different guys are different.
Speaking of jerseys, I did like the color versus color.
Yeah, it was a color rush game.
I like that.
You don't
see
those in college football very often.
No, I like that.
Only one I can actually think of is
UCLA-USC,
yeah. And that's an awesome one.
That is cool. I thought that kind of felt like that with the powder blues and the red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. That was neat. It was neat.
Week one in the books.
Yep.
For college football, high school football. Don't forget, 5 o'clock, Hellcat softball. Cash in town, district game. Hellcat's trying to solidify that second place ranking within the district with a win against the Lady Bulldogs. Going out and watching 5 o'clock at the Fiveplex. The big games coming up this week. We'll talk about those more tomorrow. NFL also starts on Thursday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.